very, very good morning to you on Fellowship Day 931. It is another one of those occasional episodes where I stumble for a second and think about how long was it since the last time? And the last time I opened the podcast, it was with the serene chirping of the birds in what is technically known as the arse end of nowhere, when I was off on a hiking trip with friends, the annual hiking trip where I forcibly, with them, go somewhere where 3G mobile internet is still a luxury, to make sure that I definitely cut myself off from work emails and the like for several days. But that's long gone. That is long gone. That was a brilliant trip. I might sound like I've got a similar hoarseness in my voice as to when I recorded then, but no whiskey, no alcohol has passed my lips in the past few days. I'm up bright and breezy this morning. I come to you from the road. That is a growing trend where I find myself with the time to record a podcast. But anyway, I'm on the road. I'm visiting an industrial collaborator today as part of the fellowship research. Excited to be down here. This was a trip that was asked for from the collaborator rather than set up by me forcibly inviting myself to the collaborator. So that's a rather unmodest way of saying our research is getting to a really mature stage where what we would say in university lingo is that we are transitioning from a period of fundamental research into one of knowledge exchange. So I'm down here exploring ways of how we can turn our research into a deployable analytical method. How do we turn what was a scrambling, an exploration, an idea on the back of a napkin into an everyday routine piece of work and a routine tool that people can pull out of the bag when they need to solve a particular problem? That sounds all very nicely wrapped up in a bow, but man, this is not to age things too much, but to put a timeline on this, I'm sitting here in the middle of 2024 talking about translating research into a routine analytical tool for research that started as me messing around in the lab back in 2017, right? So from summer 2017 to summer 2024, that shit takes a lot longer than you think it does. So much so the expletive just came rolling out of me there without any warning. And this is why when I record the Read Indeed podcast, I occasionally, as I will now, remind you that all of this is ad-libbed. I might sometimes have an idea about what I want to share so that I eventually get to the consideration, the provocation I want to leave you with. Not advice, just a question that you can ask yourself and either reflect on or throw straight in the bin as soon as you're finished reading. But none of what I've just said in this ad-libbed fashion is what I wanted to come to today. So, what did I want to come to? So much has happened since the last time I recorded. And a lot of what has happened to me, or for me personally, since the last time we were here on the Read Indeed podcast for what was day 890, not 931, a lot of it has been going on for a long time. A lot of it actually has been part of a journey that I initiated a year ago and started taking on more forcefully since the start of this year. What am I alluding to? What am I talking about? I am, of course, talking about the process of learning to drive a car. That's it. That's true. What you're about to hear is like one of those memes of how someone announces a change in their life normally versus how someone would bleat about it for three paragraphs on a LinkedIn post. Since the last Read Indeed podcast, I have passed my driving test. He says with an air of patting oneself on the back. Let me put that in full context. I am deep into the darkness of my mid-30s, having just completed a task that I could have done when I was 17. I have no idea why I didn't. I do not have a fear of driving. I just partly didn't really have a lot of money to learn to drive back in that day. But quite frankly, more honestly, I just didn't make the time for it. I was over-invested in spending extra time at school for time that I now look back on as at least academically a bit of a waste of time. Could have either taken a year out or gone to uni earlier. But anyway, that was a good extra year at school with friends. I shan't regret too much. But never did it really occur to me. Never did I really need to learn to drive back then. And so that continued as I left school and went to university. I was in living and going to university in Glasgow, so there was no need really to do anything other than the daily commute on public transport. That continued as I went to Edinburgh for my postdoc, where I forcibly moved to Edinburgh into a quaint little house that was directly across the road from the department I was working in. Side note, by the way, that's the one and only time in my life where I've left the house with 3 bars of Wi-Fi, crossed the road, got 2 bars, 1 bar of Wi-Fi, and then got close enough to the work that I jumped over to their Wi-Fi and went from 1 bar to 2 bar to 3 bar. The Wi-Fi never broke. The Wi-Fi never broke as I left my house and went into work. I will never live that close to work ever again. It was good at the time. It was necessary at the time. Certainly didn't need a car to commute to work at the time. Oh, but there's something to be said from living a little bit far away from work, enough to warrant a commute of any sort, public or private. But then that theme has just been a rather solid mainstay of the career. When I eventually moved back to Glasgow, set up an independent academic career, everything about where I've lived and where I've worked has been in a way that a standard public commute was fine. But what was fine was decreasingly suitable. I don't have the proper words this morning, but to put it more succinctly, the lack of a driving license started to get really painful, perhaps unsurprisingly, as my kids got to the age where they were old enough that they needed carted around. And especially on days where, let's say a weekend where my wife was working and I was holding the fort with the two little ones at home, if we had to go to a swimming lesson or just plan to go out for a day. You know, when you can't drive, that stuff takes several hours of consideration, or you think if we go there it's going to take us 3 buses to get there or 2 hours on a train, and then we need to wait for the same on the reverse side of that when we're coming home. You're at the mercy of where that public transport goes. And there were times when I would do one of these outings and, you know, you're making your way home, kids are getting a little bit stressed or just being kids and they're bored and they're upset and they're moaning and they just want to be home. And all the while I'm quietly thinking, I am a complete and utter unreliable fuck up. That's the overly harsh voice that lives and resides in my head, see above my book on the imposter syndrome, or so-called imposter syndrome, you are not a fraud. I always find a way to work on a little advert for the book with these things, even when I'm ad-libbing. My pals have noted that. But anyway, moving on. That voice in my head, that one where my lack of competence and getting from A to B was just really starting to get to me. And it wasn't in isolation. It was one where I could hear the voice of my dear maternal granddad. Shout out to Joseph McLachlan, still hanging on, still with us at the time I'm recording this. His words always stick with me. He's brave enough, he's man enough to tell me that one of his biggest life regrets is never having learned to drive. It's always been my gran that drove the car. He was always in the passenger seat. He never ever learned to drive, and obviously never will now. He said if he could have his time again, he would learn to drive. You know, when someone's in their mid-90s, never mind mid-30s, and they're looking back over a rich and full life, thinking about what they wish they had done, not thinking about any of the mistakes that they made, but what they wish they had done and never did. For him to say that driving was the one thing he wishes he did and is somewhat haunted by that he never, that stays with me. That is the dearest advice I will ever hear, and absolute respect to Grandad Joe for even being willing to share something like that. He could have kept that to himself. That could have been something that was secret to him and that he was too ashamed or too proud to share with anyone else. So taking that on board, I've taken a while to get here, but I essentially had the luxury of someone else's regret to make sure I didn't let history repeat itself. So actually, it was over a year ago that I started studying for the theory part of my driving test. I passed that about a year and a half ago. And in the UK, he says, thinking that other people will be listening from other countries. In the UK, when you do your driving test or you learn to drive, it comes in a theory part and a practical part. So I did the theory part, learning the rules of the road and so on, about a year and a half ago. And you've got from the point of passing 2 years hence to finish the practical part and then get your full driver's license. So I was getting to the tail end of being able to learn to actually get behind the wheel long after I'd done the academic part of it, that I was always going to find easier. But then at the turn of this year, I bit the bullet, and to help seed in a little bit of entrepreneurial thought for those of you who have listened along to previous episodes and been interested in the fact that my career is one where I straddle an academic career and an entrepreneurial one, I actually was able to reinvest some of the funds generated through my book, You Are Not a Fraud, and doing the workshops that have come from the book, the Imposter Syndrome Masterclass. I reinvested some of those in being able to buy driving lessons and do so at a regular enough pace that I could learn to drive, spoiler alert, within about 6 months. But dear deities in the heavens above and whatever form you come in, I think back now, having passed that driving test just a month ago, to sitting behind the wheel of a car for the first time, I have never quite trembled that much in all my days. And I still remember following the instruction of my driving teacher, lifting my left foot off the clutch and just slowly pressing on the gas pedal for the first time and trundling along what is Edinburgh Road in Glasgow, ironically enough, at a pace that was probably just below what I would walk at my fastest, and feeling the fear as if I was strapped to the front of a roller coaster. But even with that, and this is a sort of weird out-of-body thought that I shared with a dear friend of mine who I confided in while I was learning to drive and didn't want to tell anyone else. Once I started to get beyond that trundle, that scraping along the road of the first lesson, and started to get into driving and got beyond the point where it was so conscious that I had to go to bed early because I'd thought conscious thoughts so much, so intensely in a short period of time in which I was driving. Once it got to that point where it was sinking in, it was becoming a little bit of muscle memory and I could just enjoy the drive, I would be driving along a road and sort of see the ghost of myself on the pavement, walking along with one kid in the pram, one kid on a little standing platform at the back of the pram, and me pushing the joint weight of both of them along a road at a snail's pace, trying to get anywhere out of the house. I would see that ghost of myself as I zipped by in the car. And fast forward to now, where I'm about a month into driving, without going into details, I'm in a situation at the moment where at home, between my wife and I, I'm the only one who can drive for the next month or so. And I've sort of forcibly been in the position of being the primary driver, as weird as that feels. And I'm going to work there and back. I'm going to do the shop at the weekend, every boring task you can think of, as well as running the kids to various clubs and so on, and just getting out on the road all the time, all the time. And then occasionally choosing to go somewhere that I could never have gone if I was relying on public transport. And all within each A to B is like, okay, it'll take me 20 minutes to get there. Whereas previously I've lived my entire life thinking that's going to take me at least an hour and a half, or will I even bother thinking about it because the public transport is going to be such a pain in the ass? And now with all of those little micro trips under my belt in the car, I weigh those up versus the time it would have taken if I didn't have it. 6 months of practical driving lessons to get to where I am now was not only expensive, but such a worthwhile investment in terms of the return on time that I've found myself getting overwhelmed thinking about how much time I'm now able to save just by getting behind the wheel. Now, none of this touches on a conversation that some of you might be thinking about with regards to sustainability. Why drive when you can commute? Why get a plane when you can get a train and so on? I'm not without that sensitivity. I certainly don't drive when I don't have to. But I'm at that time in my life, that chaotic stage of early parenthood, where having a car is arguably essential. But if you push back on that and still think it's a luxury, the thing that I'm thinking about, the thing that I'm wanting to share with you in this episode of the Read Indeed podcast, is the investment in time that is now saving immeasurable amounts of time going forward. It's still overwhelming me. There's not much more I can share with you at this point because I actually have to get out on the road and go and visit said industrial collaborator for today's work, today's research, today's attempt to turn that research into a knowledge exchange piece. I'll say more about driving another time, but because time is marching on and because I need to get on the road with my feet, not behind the wheel, let me leave you with this thought that consumes me on a daily basis whenever I'm driving the car now. What might you invest time in now that will save you immeasurable amounts of time later? And here ends my cheesy, never-ending LinkedIn post to say and announce that I am now a fully-fledged, fully-licensed driver of a motor vehicle. Thanks as ever for being here, and I will see you again soon for another episode of this here Read Indeed podcast. Take care and be well.